I don't recall that the Animals Tour was any different, really, in the way it was done to the Dark Side of the Moon or the Wish You Were Here tours, but it was a bit longer. We toured fairly consistently for 6 months.
A decision was made to take this very artistic photograph of a large pig flying over Battersea Power Station. And so the large pig was built and inflated and taken down to Battersea. And there was a crew of riggers and inflators and everything else. And there was also a highly paid marksman whose job was to deflate the pig with a well-placed shot in the event of it escaping. So the next morning, everyone reported for work, with the exception of the marksman. Anyway, by the time the marksman got there, the pig was at 20,000 feet and heading for Dover.
Hello, this is David Gilmour of Pink Floyd.
And I'm Nick Mason, and we're in the studio
with Redbird.
How did Pink Floyd's David Gilmour, Nick Mason, the late Richard Wright, and big concept composer Roger Waters evolve from the sublime cynicism of their worldwide hit Dark Side of the Moon to the madness and despair of the Wall epic 6 years later? Come with me now to explore the dark, ominous, but vitally important transitional Pink Floyd album released January 1977 called Animals.
If you didn't care, what happened to me? And I didn't care. But you, we would zigzag our way through the bottom of pain, occasionally glancing up through the rain, wondering which of the brothers to blame. And watching for pigs on the wing.
With the explosive back-to-back successes of Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and Wish You Were Here, the band had perfected the innovation that the Beatles had started with 67 Sgt. Pepper and Pete Townshend's Tommy in 1969, perfected into the album as a musical movie of the mind. Here's Nick Mason and David Gilmour of Pink Floyd.
The original concept album, to use that ghastly phrase, was Dark Side of the Moon, which was very much designed as that. I mean, in fact, before the record was devised, there was a conversation about the form it would take and the link between the different themes contained therein. The other records were devised in slightly different... Each record was devised in a slightly different way.
There's even, in fact, as far back as A Sourceful of Secrets, I remember getting letters from people who would describe the entire movie that went on in their head for A Sourceful of Secrets. And we had our own sort of little movie that we thought was going on within A Sourceful of Secrets, the actual track. But other people who didn't know specifically what our one was would write in and give us their synopsis of the movie that they thought they had been listening to, they got from listening on headphones or something to A Sourceful of Secrets. And they were extraordinary and incredibly different from different type of people.
You got to be crazy. You gotta have a real need. Gotta sleep on your toes. And when you're on the street, you got to be able to pick out the easy meat with your eyes closed. Then moving in silence. Thinking. And after a while, you
And the close of the 70s decade found Pink Floyd experiencing more and more success, while curiously, at least for main songwriter Roger Waters, enjoying it less and less. Waters, whose pithy lyrical observations had grown increasingly cynical on the albums Wish You Were Here and Animals, conceived the next Pink Floyd album as an epic modern-day passion play that Waters called The Wall.
And that idea arose specifically out of the Animals tour. Because we were playing in stadiums almost exclusively, for the first time, it became clear to me after doing one or two, from the conversation backstage and from the response in front of the stage and for the things that happened afterwards and from the injuries and the this and the that and the general vibe I got, that this was no longer musicians writing and performing songs. And well, it was, but that was no longer important. What had become important was the gross. It really upset me over a period. We were, I don't know, playing stadiums for 6 or 7 weeks, and it really started to get to me. And the last one we did was in Montreal in the Olympic Stadium. 90,000 people stretching forever into the distance, chain link fencing in front of the stage, kids on a, you know, apparently on some kind of Pavlovian dog trip of screaming their heads off from the moment that we appeared on stage till the moment we left. Nobody listening, well, not nobody. I'm sure there were a lot of people in the audience who were trying to listen. Very difficult for an audience to pay attention to what's going on. And what was important, and I've been to lots of stadium shows since, and with the exception, I think, of Live Aid, they're all the same. What's important, you know, is the demagogy, is the worship of the very rich people. I mean, rich in terms of having earned a lot of money, but also maybe rich in terms of the way the audience perceives how it must be to have written such and such a song or to be that popular or whatever. It's the worship of idols from afar, and I find it distressing.
Gotta admit that I'm a little bit confused. Sometimes it seems to me as if I'm just being used. Gotta stay awake, gotta try and shake off this creeping malaise. If I don't stand my own ground, how can I find my way out of this maze? Deaf, dumb, blind, you just keep on pretending that everyone's expendable and no one has a real friend. It seems to you the thing to do would be to isolate the winner. Everything's turned under the sun. But don't believe what heart, everyone's a killer.
January 1977. That's Pink Floyd from the Animals album with Dogs. Next, the hilarious true story behind the iconic Animals album cover photo from David Gilmour and Nick Mason. If you see only one concert this year, make it Pink Floyd's visionary Roger Waters and his Us and Them tour. The ultimate concert experience features songs from Pink Floyd's greatest albums. Tickets are on sale now at rogerwaters.com. I'm Redbeard, in the studio with Pink Floyd's David Gilmour and Nick Mason, plus Roger Waters, for the anniversary of Animals.
Hello, this is David Gilmour of Pink Floyd.
And I'm Nick Mason of Pink Floyd.
This is Roger Waters.
In the studio with Redbeard.
Pink Floyd had employed a young London graphic design team called Hypnosis to do the cover art and inserts on Wish You Were Here, with spectacular results. So Hypnosis, led by the brilliant Storm Thorgerson, were commissioned to shoot the cover photo for Pink Floyd's next album, 1977's Animals. Here's Pink Floyd drummer Nick Mason.
Well, a decision was made to take this very artistic photograph of a large pig flying over Battersea Power Station. And so the large pig was built and inflated and taken down to Battersea. And there was a crew of riggers and inflators and everything else. And there was also a highly paid marksman whose job was to deflate the pig with a well-placed shot in the event of it escaping. We rigged the pig and the pig was sent up and the marksman stood there with his gun. But unfortunately, for various different reasons, I think the way the sky looked and the weather and everything else, we didn't actually get the shot we wanted that day. So the next morning, everyone reported for work, with the exception of the marksman.
Who got stuck in traffic somewhere or overslept.
Anyway, by the time the marksman got there, the pig was at 20,000 feet and heading for Dover. And there were a lot of reports, some true, some less true, of warnings being given over the radio, because the pig was actually on the flight path into Heathrow. And there are even stories that actual airliners did spot the pig, although I think that's unlikely. There was a police helicopter did give chase, but the pig was actually, it actually was climbing like an F-14 at the time. And it was some time later, I think, it reached a certain height and then the various safety valves opened and it began a gentle descent and landed in a field in Kent.
Since David Gilmour is a licensed pilot, I just had to know the proper procedure for reporting a giant flying pig to the authorities.
Well, usually. usually when I spot a pig. I don't know what he would have said. He said, the mind boggles, really, doesn't it? I know it must seem strange, but when I've been flying around southern England, over Kent, over these parts of the outskirts of London, I have never actually seen a pig flying past. So I wouldn't really know how to deal with it.
I mean, who would you think you should report it to? Do you have a view on this? I mean, is it something to do with air traffic control or something to do with the farming community?
You just say, hands up, and if he doesn't put them up, you shoot them.
I mean, I think, Redbeard, perhaps it's something we should explain. I don't think the pig would understand even if you did tell it to pull over.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The closest thing Pink Floyd ever got to a mascot was the giant inflatable pink pig, immortalized in that song and on the cover of the 1977 Pink Floyd album, Animals. And if you don't believe in evolution, check out how the prodigious porker has evolved in my up-close, anatomically correct photos of the pig from the 1987 tour up to 2011's publicity shots from the archive reissue campaign. See them at inthestudio.net. I'm Red Beard in the studio with Pink Floyd's David Gilmour and Nick Mason, plus Roger Waters, for the anniversary of Animals.
Hello, this is David Gilmour of Pink Floyd.
And I'm Nick Mason of Pink Floyd.
This is Roger Waters.
In the studio with Redbeard.
Thank you all once again. It's an honor and a real pleasure to have you explore the musical bridge between Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon era to the epic spectacular of the Wall album, tour, and movie. If I had to point to one event or issue that were increasingly polarizing the two main creative forces in Pink Floyd by 1977, then the Recollections of the Animals tour by David Gilmour and Roger Waters would be the most revealing. First, guitarist, singer, composer David Gilmour in the studio.
I don't recall that the Animals tour was any different, really, in the way it was done to the Dark Side of the Moon or the Wish You Were Here tours, but it was a bit longer. We toured fairly consistently for 6 months with the Animals tour, and that was a big one for us. The stadium tours started in 1973 when Dark Side of the Moon was out. We were doing stadiums immediately, as soon as sort of money got up into the top ten, and it was a major change for us because the audiences just made so much more noise. I mean, we weren't ever exclusively doing stadiums. We would be doing some cities. We would be doing the arenas, and multiple nights in arenas in the big cities as well as stadiums. It would be sort of balanced out between the two. But it was quite a shock to the system to be confronted with people down the front all screaming to hear us play Money. When our slightly more reverential audiences, you might say, were sitting in absolute silence waiting to hear the next pin being dropped very, very subtly and delicately from Nick's fingers.
Roger Waters will never forget the last performance on Pink Floyd's Animals tour.
So, at the end of this Montreal show, I found myself, there was some kid trying to climb up the chain link fencing. I got so angry with this kid who was screaming all through, I don't know, Mother, or one of the quieter songs, anyway. I finally got so angry that I spat at this child. Well, child, he was 14 or 15, I suppose. And when I came off stage afterwards, I thought, what have I been reduced to here? And what, you know, what has happened to the relationship between the band and the audience? So the wall was something that I experienced very powerfully through most of that tour, but specifically on that day.
Cynically categorizing all humans in one of three categories as dogs, pigs, or sheep, Roger Waters by 1977 was not even attempting to hide his ever-growing contempt for the record and concert businesses, the fans, even his bandmates in Pink Floyd. Keyboard player the late Richard Wright was too broken to be included on the band's blockbuster The Wall 2 years later, and it would be almost 10 years before Wright would reemerge in a Waters-less Pink Floyd in 1987. Rivaled only by the continuing Van Halen soap opera, Pink Floyd's public bickering in the 80s inevitably sparked controversy amongst rock writers and Pink Floyd fans alike over personnel, sound, and direction. David Gilmour effectively silenced their critics, but the manner may surprise you.
I mean, there are people who didn't think at the time maybe that we should do things that way, you know. And people who have a view of the way that we are or the way that we should be. And this is true today, as it was then, that like I said before, rules are made to be broken. And we don't, and we've never had any sacred idea about what we think we ought to be or what we ought to sound like. So any time we feel like trying something else out, we'll just go and try it. And if some of the fans do or don't like it, it's not really particularly relevant, you know. Because that's not the way we do things. That's not why we do things. We do them for us first. And if the fans like it, they like it, you know. It was never as bad as poor old Bob Dylan's treatment at Newport when he first went on with a band. You know, when they accused him of selling out his folk roots and all that bullshit. But, you know, we got a little bit of that sort of general vibe that... You know, it's like other people start thinking they possess something of you and they have a right to tell you how you ought to sound and the way you ought to be. But it just isn't sacred to me. And I don't think it ever was to us that it should be any one particular way. And if we want to chuck a saxophone in or get some girl singers or put an orchestra on or whatever we want to do, that's fine, you know. As long as it comes out sounding nice to us.
You know that I care. What happens to you? And I know that you care. For me too. So I don't feel alone on the way to the stone. Now that I've found somewhere safe to bury my bone, and any fool knows a dog needs a home. A shelter from pigs on the wing.
I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio thanking my guests, Roger Waters, plus David Gilmour and Nick Mason. In the Studio was written and produced by Redbeard for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2017, all rights reserved. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.